Us, I can see us on a screen. Isn't that wild?
There we go. That took a little bit of time, but we've got it. Where did I just put? Oh God, I am bad. I am so bad. Ah, here it is. Welcome everyone to the Heinz Tomato Ketchup podcast. I mean, the Immaterial Gamers podcast.
Featuring Pepsi Cola.
Yeah, you know, let's get all the stuff we're not sponsored by. Sorry, what I was also meant to do was meant to go like this. It's like, hi everyone, welcome.
Ryan is unusually eating food today. He's had quite an ordeal trying to get his food in him today.
Yeah, trying to get the sustenance in the body.
He wanted this to be done well before the podcast started, but
yeah. But unfortunately,
that didn't work out.
Yeah, it's happening in the middle of it, so I'm going to apologize. You know, there's going to be cases where I'm just going to go, you know.
Just have welcome. A nosh.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. You know, it is what it is.
Mm.
Podcast quality be damned. You know, it's better than eating a full meal 6 minutes before you want to go to bed and then not being able to sleep because you're digesting.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just... that's just how that's going to work. So anyway, I'm Ryan, and I'm monster, you know, I'm a host of what the doggo.
Yeah, I've got dogs. Dogs I haven't put on screen before.
Oh, these are them. These are those dogs, aren't they?
These are my mom's dogs. They have not been on screen
before.
The
breedy dogs.
Well, yeah, sort of. They were supposed to be. The brown and white one. That's Boris. He's a successful breeder. He's my mom's dog and. Has been for about 2 years.
Mm.
He's had a few litters. He's a capable dad. And the black and white one, who's an absolute little monster, she was the one most recent purchase that we got from Belarus, from the same breeder as Boris, but totally unrelated genetically. Turns out she's not good for that. Turns out she had a serious genetic defect that made the muscle lining in her groinal area extremely fragile, which resulted in a double hernia in her legs. It was a fairly serious condition.
Guys, hey, come on, stop.
Shush. It ended up having to have a fairly major surgery as well as an emergency spay to make sure that she couldn't breed. That's $3,000 down to have a if I'm being perfectly honest, a relatively mediocre pet. She's actually quite a nuisance. She is the worst I've ever seen when it comes to house training.
And oh dear.
She can be a little bit of a handful.
Oh, but I mean,
she's cute to look at, fine. But she's tough. Boris is a good kid, though. I like him.
Good. I mean, all's well that ends semi-functionally.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it does suck that it happened the way it did. You know, we have plans to get another female at some point. You know, we're not going to rehome her. We're keeping her.
Fair dues.
Better to go through the process than become an unethical breeder and breed a subpar litter of puppies that might not have even survived. The condition was bad enough that
it was that bad.
It could very well have endangered the litter, even if we had gone through with it. So, she is just a very expensive, she's just a very expensive pet grade Chinese crested dog now.
Fair dues.
No,
I mean
it is what it is.
You know what? It puts our two-hour late takeout into perspective.
Yeah, well, you know, everyone has their own problems, right? You know, we had to spend $3,000 on an emergency life-saving surgery on a dog that was supposed to bring us in, you know, like $12,000 worth of puppies. You got your takeout an hour and a half late. You know, it's like
two different sides of the first world problem spectrum, really, isn't it? It's just like...
Yeah,
oh, dude.
You know, anything else going on in your life other than being miserable about food not showing up?
I don't know. I was watching the Formula One this afternoon. That took an hour and a half late.
How'd that go? Did anyone explode?
Red flag. 30 seconds in, first straight, driver ended up getting the car flipped and he slid about 300 meters down on the roof before getting caught in the gravel and flipping over the tire wall into the catch fence.
Jesus Christ. It was 300 meters. Like, if I ran for 300 meters, I'd be fucking knackered. The guy slid on the roof of a car this fucking big for 300 meters. You know, like, that's quite a day.
And I'll say this right now. There are still, and I'm going to say this, fucking morons who don't like the safety feature which kept the man alive.
I know when it comes to... But between Formula One and NASCAR, they're kind of, you know, same sort of ballpark of, like, I know that's, like, virtually impossible to injure. Like, you could fucking drive them off a cliff and they'd probably be fine. Like, they're just so, you know, high end with the safety features. But it is still, like, Jesus Christ, every time that sort of thing happens. Yeah.
Well, we were watching it. So there was me, Martin, and then there was Steve, the general. And he is still here. He is he's a 7-star general now. That's so.
Wow. He's invented then, 2 whole ranks just to accommodate himself.
Yeah, and then our friends Paul and Tom, and we watched the race. We saw the corner as it went, and you can tell straight away when they're not sure of the condition of a driver, because he flew into the thing, and we all sat there and just said red flag. Right, 2 seconds later, red flag.
I would hope so.
Race was delayed for
some kind of flag. I mean, it's just like, imagine that happens. It's like, well, shit happens. They just keep driving.
Generally, the way it sort of does is that usually a marshal will wave a yellow flag, which basically says, right, there's an obstacle here. Do not fucking overtake if you actually like your super license.
Yeah, driver's left wrist is in the middle of the road, yellow flag, try to avoid it.
Well, yeah, there's the thing, yeah, they do that, and then if they realise something's up, they then go to a safety car or a virtual safety car, and then a red flag. No, straight off, it was just like, this crashed. What are you doing? No, don't put out the yellow flag. Red! I said red! No, what do you mean you're colourblind? Why are you here? And then, so it happened. But yeah, his name's Joe
Guan Yu. That red, yellow color blindness. It'll get you.
Considering that, you know, if you've got damage to your car and you're forced by the sporting regulator to get into the pits and fix your car, you get waved a black and orange flag. So, they're all there. But anyway, this red flag's happened. And they have the Formula One cars, they have this, like, weird, like, beam, cross beam on the top of the car. And it goes down the middle, and they call it the halo, because it looks like a halo. That's basically it. It's just above the driver's head, and it's designed. It's basically designed that they don't get fucking decapitated. So that's just how it is. And so he was saved by the fact that while he was sliding down 300 meters, it was, you know, hitting this halo device, not, you know, his helmet. So. You know, that's the whole safety bit, and there are still people going, but if the car was on fire, he would have died slowly inside there. And so, but the car wasn't on fire, and believe me, tell me, we know about a situation where a guy was in a car when it was on fire 2 years ago, another red flag incident. He got accidentally or clipped a wheel and knocked into a little metal, you know, the metal barriers, at about 110 miles an hour. The car exploded. The fuel cell ruptured and exploded.
I was joking earlier when I mentioned the explosion.
You were not aware of this. Sorry.
Aware that Formula One drivers were routinely exploded.
No. This is the thing.
It's more dangerous than pod racing over there.
Subulba only actually came out with a mild case of third-degree burns to his hands.
Poodoo.
But no, seriously, the driver, Romain Grosjean, he was in the car. It was burning and got out about 10 seconds after it caught fire, and all he got was burns to his hands. He otherwise got out of the car and was absolutely fine. The driver today was in the paddock of the Formula One stadium, just walking casually down through the paddock, just going, "Oh yeah, yeah, no, I'm fine, I'm fine." I mean, he did have one of the places to get injured.
Like, I mean, you know, hands are not like great when you're a professional driver, you know, with the wheel and all that. Like, if you get injured to like you're like, I don't know, you're like your right thigh, it's like you'll probably be fine. Like, you probably keep racing, but injury to the hands, it's like, I mean, that might put you out for a bit.
Try telling you something else here, then. Shall I give you another one? You mentioned about losing the legs. But anyway, I'll get back to that guy in a second. This guy
was
walking down through the stadium, and he was having a conversation with the head of Formula One. He's like, "How are you feeling through that?" And he's like, "I know, I'm fine. When the car was flipping and rolling, I was a little scared, but when I hit the fence, I knew I was okay because I was still moving." And it's like, well, okay, fair enough. That is an outlook on the situation that you can't really deny. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good way to say. It's like if you cease having the ability to move, it's like that's usually a pretty good sign that things have gone wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's see, arm, leg, neck. Yep. Yeah, okay, we're good.
So I was while I'm here, I'll tell you about driver's injuries. There is a commentator and still racer in motor racing at the moment. He's a kid called Billy Munger. I think he's still in his teenage years at the moment. Double amputee due to a collision that happened while he was in a Formula 3 race, which is a couple of steps down in speed to Formula 1. He got brake checked by just complete accident. Something had happened in front of a driver. He broke and his car just went straight in to the back of him. Yeah, lost both his legs. He's still racing for Formula 3 in a custom car. So you were there on the idea of, oh, well, his career is probably over if he's got no legs, isn't he? That's just how it is. No, he's still going. So look, it's going to get to a day, Duncan, where there's just going to be, like, you know, Futurama style floating heads in jars racing round tracks. It's mental.
You know, becoming presidents. I always wonder, does anyone ever, like, preemptively, like, it's like, I'm just gonna lose them anyway. Fuck it, just take them off. Less blood to worry about, you know. It's just, I got a custom car. Cool, man. Got robot legs. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. But yeah, he's like, yeah, he's
just drive a car with the power of your mind. It's just like just direct neurological implants. You just
neural. There we go.
Just use your brain to tell the car what to do. It's the most advanced VR ever.
Yeah.
it's VR racing for keeps.
Wow. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, the question that could come up on this is, what the fuck has this got to do with video games? And I will tell you right now, EA's Formula 1 2022 came out on Friday, so... Boom!
Got him. Take that, imaginary straw man who's not even in the.
Yeah,
probably not.
Brawn straw man. So yeah, we could probably talk about games that we played and stuff, and, you know, try and do probably conversations could. Where that really comes comes to. About.
I mean, you know, we do whatever we want. I mean, it's our damn podcast.
Yeah,
it's your
absolutely.
Damn podcast. I don't have any ownership of this podcast.
Like, I've probably been part of Immaterial Gamers. You have part ownership of this podcast. I've tried to tell you this, but, you know,
what do you think? Like how the tier list works in terms of appearances. Like, obviously, you're number one. I'd say probably Terry's number two at this point because he co-hosts.
Yeah.
Then what? Probably D, I would guess, because D just shows up whenever, right?
Yeah.
They're pretty much here for everything. Then Steph, I would say. Probably ahead of me. Yeah, and then me.
And then
miscellaneous.
Like, you know, Martin, Steve, you know, those, you know, the guys that have got real work to do, and, you know.
As opposed to us, who are just fucking around.
Yeah, yeah. You know, fucking around.
I just scrub dogs' assholes for a living. It's not a real job.
I enter data onto a computer, and my day goes well if no one comes up to me and talks to me.
Oh man, because
that means I'm doing my job right.
that sounds great. I'd love to do that. Just type into a computer all day, as I have nobody talk to me. You are literally ruining my day just by talking to me. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but there's a problem. There's a problem with this bar. Well, tell me the fucking problem and then leave. I'm listening to something. You know,
like... Put it in a tweet.
Oh, I wish. Oh, man. Yeah, Immaterial Gamers presents Job Swap.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a laugh.
Oh, that would be.
It'd never fucking work, but it'd be a laugh.
Yeah. Oh, I need to find out where Terry's going on the idea of issues with the Immaterial Gamers Fantasy League at the moment. I am almost certain that there is no issues. But you thought there was a score discrepancy between weeks 2 and 3. Now, to be fair, I messed up week 3 scores by giving Pinky, the prediction bot, more points than Perky. Easy mistake to make.
I think what he was trying to say is that he's surprised at how much of a lead Perky has, because the difference between first and second place was only 1 point as of last week, and this week it's significantly more than that. And that's just because Perky did significantly better. Than everyone else.
Mm.
So yeah, I think that's all he was trying to say.
Yeah, just a slight spoiler. I mean, the Fantasy League will be coming out on Wednesday as per, but for weeks 2 through 7, the maximum amount of points we can score is 60. Perky scored 42, so he got over two thirds of the predictions right. And I feel like 70%
win rate is pretty good.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel, and why Terry's like on the idea of Perky's dropping last year's stats of a week 4, as he's put in our Discord, I would argue against that. The whole point of Perky was to see that through, or the whole idea was to determine whether, on past results alone, a bot could predict accurately, or, you know, as accurately as possible, objectives in a game.
Perky is not exactly the most advanced AI of all time. It's like the most basic fucking.
It's using a simple Python script, but you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that people with actual good programming skills and a whole lot of extra time could probably put together a much more sophisticated AI that could churn out some even more accurate results.
Yeah,
but it is worth saying that with approximately 70% accuracy as of now, it's like that is notably better than average, like just a random 50% distribution.
Yeah, absolutely. So, which is what Pinky really is. In regards,
Pinky
to that.
Represents the blind person. Just
Pinky represents 60 coins all flipped.
Yeah.
Heads and tails. That is literally the point of Perky. Of Pinky, sorry. Perky is, meant to be smarter, and so far it is. Where it falls down, is it what we've learned on this, where it's fallen down. Last split, we could figure this out. When it comes to best of threes and trying to find fastest objectives as opposed to here's a best of one, have at it, it falls down. It doesn't have it, but that also being said, it doesn't have enough information at the moment. It's had one split where it's, or like one season of the Fantasy League where it's had data. So, that's the fun thing. But yeah, there's the Fantasy League's going on, and we get a break from it for a week because the global Riot Games holiday, where they basically tell all their staff members, "You are not working this week."
Hey, all right. That's all right. A lot of companies don't have these sorts of things. It's like usually they're more like to say like, "Hey, happy holidays! Could you work like up until like 3 minutes before it's legally the holidays, and we might throw you like an extra couple of dollars?" Okay, thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, like, I'm sorry.
Also, you're fired if you say no.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that the employee 616 has died. Is he going to be in tomorrow? No. Due to the global Riot holiday, that means all game services, that's generally this is why patches around a global holiday get split into two smaller patches. So they'll do, you know, they'll do, in this case, I think it's 12.14. And then in 2 weeks' time, they'll do a 12.14B patch just to cover for the fact that no one's been fixing bugs or adjusting stats over a holiday. But that also affects the esports side, which is why no esports also take place, because Riot owns all the competitions that they take place on. So, yeah, means a little bit of time off for the Fantasy League. So, have you ever sat down, Duncan, and just decided to just chill and play a Zen simulator game?
Such as?
What I've played recently, due to it appearing on Game Pass, even though I had it on the Humble Bundle, as Martin told me, House Flipper.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I'm not really much of a, you know, I'm not really much of a sim guy. Like, you know, like I never got into like the like say like for example Stardew Valley or, you know, just the games where it's just sort of like casual, just farm and
just chilling out, you know, and then,
you know.
And then, you know, a duck breaks all your stuff, and you just go fucking
cycles of, cycles of production and income and graduated growth, you know, things like that. I understand the appeal; it's just never been my thing. But how has your experience with House Flipper been?
You know what? It's been absolutely fine with what I've played so far. I've only played a small amount of it, and I was saying to Martin, who also suggested that I should play it when I had the opportunity to, and well, it came along. I feel I've almost seen everything there is to see about it. It starts off like virtually every other simulation game. Like, for, let's just say, for example, Euro Truck Simulator. You don't have the money to buy a truck and, you know, become the best trucker in Europe or America, depending which truck simulator game you buy. So you're a house flipper. Your whole point is to invest money into buying houses, doing them up, and then selling them at a, you know, a much bigger price. Or at least a bigger price. But no, you start by doing odd jobs. Odd jobs from sometimes a load of absolute dickheads, to be fair. It's like, hi, yeah, some students crashed here. I've got rid of them. Clean the shit up. Oh, also buy a radiator. Why am I buying a radiator? Oh, they stole it. And then you'll load into a house and you'll have to do
those classic college days. You know, went to house parties, totally trashed the place, stole the radiator.
Effectively wrote "fuck the police" on a black wall. Dropped about 20 bottles of wine just in the corner.
All the best college house parties featured wine. Absolutely.
Mm. Quite a lot of red. I didn't see any white. No rosé either. Know.
Rosé. Of course. If you, I dropped a thing in dev chat. I don't know if you're
I can have a look.
The fan of the creator, but, you know, he is a comedy musician.
Stupendium.
For video games. Yeah,
I saw him. He's done a couple of. I know he's done a couple of collabs with another rapper that I have watched. Dan Bull.
Yeah. He's worked with him quite a few times.
Quite a few. Yeah, I think the most recent one actually was, or the one that I saw most recently of them was the Among Us raps, where there was two different endings depending on.
Yeah.
Whose channel you watched?
Yeah. No, that was. So it's good stuff. Yeah, he did the House Flipper one. I like the House Flipper, actually.
Mm.
He's got one crazy Mad Lib part where he just, well, not Mad Lib, but he's going ham on like different like goofy like names for paint colors or like wallpapers. It's good. It's my favorite part.
I've certainly experienced that. I mean, I have painted a whole house in moody blue. But. Yeah, I enjoy it. It's like I say, you do these menial jobs like clearing trash, and then you upgrade to clearing trash and mopping up, and then painting, demolition, and then where Martin's got to, I haven't reached it yet, flamethrower. You know, that general tool that you use when flipping houses. Yeah, I understand that, like, getting a sledgehammer to knock out a wall and putting up a lintel, but
yeah,
you know, but flamethrower. I mean,
that seems like the kind of tool that would probably not make it into the hands of a whole lot of renovators, except for, you know, maybe the ones that I was gonna say, I was like, well, I mean, you know, the one from the Stipendium song, maybe.
There's a thing, hold on. Isn't Elon Musk's flamethrower company called The Boring Company?
Does he?
I'm not
up to the lore.
The Muskiverse.
Yeah.
Enjoying it. And like I say, it's zen, and you do chill out. But as I was also explaining with Martin this afternoon, it's all chilled out while you're playing the game. And then me and Martin had about 5-10 minutes where we just ranted about bugs that would happen in the game that would, you know, just piss us off, i.e. trying to paint 100% of a room in a colour, and then finding that you can't paint the last strip of the wall because it's stuck behind a children's bed, that you can't move out of the room because it's nice and comfy and in the right place, and you can't sell it because it's their fucking house, not yours. So you get a nice little helpful prompt when you attempt it. It's like a tool that you can use to sell objects. And then when you click it to try and remove it, it just goes, no, you're not playing Thief Simulator.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, that sort of happens. Or I mean,
That's annoying.
I mean, it does have a nice option that again, Martin asked me about. It's like, are you afraid of cockroaches? I was happily able to say no, but there is a feature for those that have a fear of cockroaches, which I can't remember the name of, but it actually tells you the fear in there. You can just switch it off and it replaces all the cockroaches with shards of glass.
Do they, like, move around?
I don't know. I haven't actually tried it. I could probably... Walking on broken glass...
I can't imagine. Is this like the only thing more hazardous to work with than broken glass on the floor? Is broken glass on the floor with legs?
It also wouldn't remember because you clear the cockroaches out by turning on the vacuum cleaner and you just them up. I don't know if that's safe with glass.
I have no idea. Oh god! Oh, you went a little bit weird there just now.
That was the point. That was supposed to be glass.
I mean, like your microphone just kind of decided. Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Ah, like, right. Okay. Yeah. No.
You didn't make a cool, you know, Foley noise with your mouth. Yeah. Your microphone just went like.
Oh, that sounds me when I that sounds like me when I wake up and dehydrated due to, you know, needing a drink overnight. Just
yeah, same.
But yeah, so no, I'm enjoying that, and so, you know, between that and I actually started playing American Truck Simulator again, and I still need to complete Shipbreaker. I seem to be in this mindset that I just want to, you know, deconstruct ships without blowing them up or drive from one state to the other. Taking, I don't know, logs or a JCB, you know, cross state, cross country, and, you know, feeling very manly because of it. Now I understand. Now we were talking before we started the podcast about Terry, you know, wanting the title or the description of last week's podcast to be about Terry is a manly man, and he forced me to write that thing about Duncan, but, you know, And now I also feel like a little bit of a manly man. I can renovate, like, houses, and
it's like, yeah, I could use a hammer. I could use a miter saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a flamethrower.
Like a wooden half and nail it to another plank of wood. Don't know what I'd do with it, but by God, I would have two planks of wood nailed together by sundown and no one could stop me.
Yeah. It'd be perfect. So welcome. So that'll be a video. Oh god, that'll be a video game challenge in the pipeline. build a treehouse.
Oh God.
Okay.
An IRL treehouse. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. First anyway, question.
Does anybody have a tree? I don't have a tree. I don't live near. I don't own any trees nearby me. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've got trees, but I don't think the council around here would be happy with me just building a, let's be fair, structurally unsafe treehouse in a tree. I just said to do it in the woods behind his work.
What they don't know can't hurt them. It could hurt you, but it won't hurt them. Yeah.
Yep. So, oh God. Oh, that won't be great.
What is the strategy for treehouses? What's like the meta for treehouses? Like, do you build the treehouse in the tree, or do you build the treehouse and then like staple it to the tree afterwards?
The idea is that you're meant to do it in the tree, but beforehand, Martin, do you want to say it again, please, so I can realize he made some stupid dad pun about not being able to see the wood from the trees. I caught you out. Oh, well, you've just been given the shaking head, and you know what? You deserve it. Oh God, what a day. What a day. So what have you been playing, Duncan? give you a shot here and I'll shut up.
I'm glad you asked. I've actually recently discovered this new game. I actually have no idea if it is new. I don't know when it came out.
It's new to you.
Or anything about it. It actually is like brand new. It's like not even a month old. So it's a game called Symphony of War.
Oh, nice.
Seems to be sort of like an indie take on sort of the tactical RPG genre a la Fire Emblem and XCOM. Definitely more Fire Emblem than XCOM.
Okay.
But kind of... it takes sort of elements from the Fire Emblem series mixed with bits of like advanced war.
Yeah.
Because in Fire Emblem, basically, you know, you command, you know, an army of just single units that you move around on a grid and, you know, and kill things. And they level up slowly over time and, you know, they fill different roles and it's great. With this, it's more like you control squads of units, like every piece on the board represents a group of several units that all, you know, have their own stats and level up and class up independently.
So it'd all be a bit like just like taking just battalions.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
So it just reminds me of an RPG called The Last Remnant, where you fought your turn-based battles as groups. You didn't control individual characters in a group, you controlled little groups, and you wouldn't just give a command to attack, you'd give them an order, like, you know, go all out, or focus on defense and shit like that. But that sounds like, in a tactical turn-based space, is what you've got going with Symphony of War.
Yeah. I'm trying to find, like, a good, like, just, like, a gameplay footage of,
Yeah, because if I find it, I can just put it in the link in the chat.
Yeah, this is just here's this guy. This guy plays Fire Emblem, so it makes sense. I recognize this person from playing Fire Emblem, so it makes sense that he would play Symphony of War. You have to be able to jump around to actually like find the actual gameplay, but it's it seems all right. It's I've only played like four missions or so I haven't quite gotten to the thick of it yet. We're still like barely out of tutorial territory. But it seems all right, you know. It's interesting that it's like, you know, I like that it's like, you know, it's there's this, you know, you have your hero units where like, you know, named characters who are actually like important to the story and all that, and have like support conversations and stuff, but you can also just buy like random NPCs, you know, who can lead their own squads, and you know, if units get enough experience and enough leadership points, they can, you know, be essentially go and start out in their own squads. Yeah, so you have sort of like a divide between like your essential story characters and just like just goons who can who are more expendable.
Yeah.
Because
I assume they'd still play the whole one life shit that Fire Emblem would have.
Yeah, the permadeath. Yeah, you can actually enable and disable permadeath independently from the actual difficulty of the game.
All right.
So you can play, whichever you want. You can play the highest difficulty with no permadeath. You can play the lowest difficulty with permadeath, or whatever you want.
Yeah. So it's customizable to work sort of challenge and stuff.
Yeah, I went to the medium difficulty with permadeath because that's just kind of what I'm used to. Like, I'll play with the consequences. There's a little bit more flexibility. It's not in every map, but I know that in some maps you can have a building where permadeath or no, if you have casualties in your squad, you can pay to have them revived, so long as there's at least one surviving member of that squad. If a squad gets totally wiped out and you have permadeath on, you're boned.
It's gone. Yeah.
But you can buy back your sort of knocked out units before they're officially listed as dead if you're on one of those maps. Not every map has one.
Right. Okay. So you just have to, you would have to deal with it. I do like this. So it's on Steam. It's currently rated overwhelmingly positive, which there isn't that many of them around
the moment. Yeah, like I say, it does seem like a big part of like the sort of Fire Emblem fandom kind of latched onto it because of how many similarities it has.
Yeah.
It is brand new. It seems like a fairly small company. Like, you can kind of just tell by like the general assets and the UI that it's not like super expensive, shall we say.
Yeah, like you say, it's got a very early Fire Emblem mixed with sort of like a very early Final Fantasy sprite based.
Yeah, sprite art looks pretty firmly in the like SNES era of gaming, but it's pretty all right. I'm probably gonna play more of it today at some point when I've got when the podcast is on and I've got time. Enjoying it so far.
Hey, well, that's the thing. If you're enjoying it, that's the thing, isn't it? So. Yeah, that's cool. Oh man, yeah, I just can't wait for the next Monster Prom game. there's just something about it. For anyone who hasn't watched any of the streams recently, for our play session stream, which is our group and party game streams, we played the OG Monster Prom, like the OG Monster Prom, like no second term DLC, so it means we didn't have Calculester, who is a giant walking talking robot eggplant. But yeah, no, we played it and we're just waiting. It's just the waiting game now for Monster Road Trip, which will be interesting. It'd be nice to play a game where dating isn't the key component of success or failure. In a visual novel, it's actually making sure that you can get your two dumbass characters, in this case Scott and Scott is a werewolf, and Polly Geist, who is a ghost. Come on, it's not.
Yeah,
Scott Howell and Polly Geist, and they go on a road trip from one, basically going to, they're doing an East Coast to West Coast or West Coast to East Coast. Sort of thing, and coast the monster coast. Prom, yeah, coast to coast. There we go, that works. Thanks for that, Duncan. Cheers. I would have just got completely stunted on that, But sorry, go on.
Yeah, as I said, it's like it doesn't really matter where you start and where you end up. It's just coast to coast.
Yeah, so coast to coast road trip, and you choose then the usual Monster Prom characters, the color coded characters that you've made that you've played in Monster Prom and Monster Camp. And yeah, the success is to get from coast to coast through and gain one of the main endings of successfully getting the road trip completed. It's a cooperative game because you can all fail. If you run out of fuel or food or stuff, which, you know, for Polly is a bit weird. She's a, you know, she's a ghost.
Her like her bad ending where you run out of stuff is like she just gets sad. It's like, no. I mean, you know, I eat recreationally for fun, but like I don't really need to.
You know what else she has recreationally for fun. So,
yeah. She has everything recreationally. Recreation may as well be her middle name, Polly Recreation Geist.
Polly Drug Geist.
Drug Geist.
So looking forward to that, but oh man. I can't believe it. I was actually going back through the old Monster Prom videos.
Survival elements to the Monster Prom formula.
Yeah. And so it has... this is where it sort of come up with the idea. The game is competitive in the sense that you are all working together to get to the end. Because if you don't get to the end, you all lose. But then you're also... Because from what it sounds like, there is a dating element that will be in it. You are still also trying to fight each other to, I guess in this case, woo Scott and Polly. You know, polyamorous relationship. Sorry, I couldn't. No, that was just bad. I apologize. At least my mood's feeling a little bit better. I've eaten now.
I've had some food at a somewhat reasonable time.
Yeah.
I'll be in the middle of the podcast. Was that supposed to be like their ship name, polyamorous?
Well, that's what I've made up, yes. So.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Polyamorous!
Awoo.
Awoo, not oo-woo.
It could be both.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, to be fair now, I've been watching the WrestleMans as well. Yeah, there's a WWE thing. One of the YouTube channels that I follow called Cultaholic, they have decided that the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, which is a unified belt, there were two championships. There was the Universal Championship because it needed to be bigger than the world. Dumbasses. And then there was the WWE Championship, and now they've just melded together. One guy owns both. So it's the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, or as Cultaholic call it, the UWU. Because even with WWE, it still goes woo. So yeah, it's the UWU. I just like the idea. Know. And here comes the UWU champion.
more memes for you.
Oh man, which is great, especially, you know, the guys are like a Samoan badass, you know. Tattoos for days, long flowing black hair, proper square beard, you know, would absolutely destroy anyone in a fight. That sort of idea, just to have him to, it'd just be funny for him to come out on the stage and just like, and here's your UWU champion, and he's just like,
ooh.
Ooh. There's some news. And I haven't been around for a few weeks, so I haven't got around to news, but just to give you a finger, a very what the fuck Blizzard catch up. Bobby Kotick investigated Bobby Kotick and found that Bobby Kotick had not actually he'd been cleared of wrongdoing.
My phone made a weird noise, like, oh, it's just eBay notifications.
Ah, fair enough. I just thought that something had happened there. So basically Activision are still the worst. And now they're the worst who've cleared themselves of wrongdoing. According to themselves, there is still a court case on there, so they'll determine whether they've cleared themselves of wrongdoing or not. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, I don't have the links for those. It was just something that I needed to bring up because we never sort of got around to it. However, I will bring this one up. Remember, you know, Electronic Arts and them basically moving most of their games to multiplayer experiences because, according to them, otherwise known as they didn't want to do it, single-player games were dead.
I seem to remember that topic coming up once.
Yeah. Well, they made a joke about it again. according to PC Gamer here, there was a tweet in question. Oh yeah, so it was just a thing that just said there are 10, but they only like playing single player games. It's supposed to be just like supposed to be a whole like, you know, trying to go out with someone and they're supposed to be really, really great. However, I think I saw one of the bars in Manchester called Pixel Bar do the same sort of thing. It's like, when she's a 10, but you pull 2 shinies in Pokemon Booster Pack. So, unfortunately, this sort of backfired a bit because, let's be honest, a couple of the developers who work with EA, including the developers of the upcoming Jedi Survivor game, a single-player Metroidvania experience, not exactly happy that EA's turned around saying, yeah, right, well, congratulations on all those single-player games you make. No one fucking plays them. Well, for a start, yeah. They do.
It's just like, you know, you could, you know, if you really wanted to, you could just go out and say, hey, we don't want to make single player games because they're not as profitable. Like, no one would like you. Everyone would hate you for doing that, but at least you'd be honest. Yeah, and that would be accurate to what you, because that's what you're saying. That's why they don't want to sell you the single player games. It is blatantly obvious to anyone who plays video games that single player games sell just fine. You know, fucking Nintendo, every 2 or 3 years, they sell a new Mario game for like $10 billion. They're all single-player games. Like, people have to mod multiplayer into their games. Like, you know, at the risk of, you know, their own, like, legal problems. But, you know, it's very abundantly clear that single-player games sell just fine.
Yeah. What it is, according to stuff like EA and all those that want to milk every bit of money out of everyone ever, you know, this is the thing that, you know, I should say, because I'm actually going to see them at a wrestling event, which is going to be cool. Commander Stephanie Sterling in the Jimquisition episodes does turn around and state, no, they don't, video game companies don't just want some of your money, they want all the money. They want absolutely everything out of it. And you don't get that from a single player experience. You're not getting what was the term? Recurrent user spending. You don't get
unfortunately that just doesn't happen so much.
Yeah. So when you know, okay. It was Vince Zampella, who is the studio head of Respawn Entertainment, who make Apex Legends, EA's multiplayer game. Titanfall, you know, multiplayer game. It's just that the fact that they also make Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, it's just, you can tell why the room has, or you can tell the state of the room that's been read when that guy just posts a facepalm emoji. You know, it's just a thing, you know, and you're fucking people over, and especially, you know, stuff like, okay, yeah, there's BioWare, and let's be honest, they're not exactly a great company and a great reputation at the moment. Yeah, Dragon Age, fine. Mass Effect, all right, fine. Anthem, yes, they made Anthem. Sorry, there's no getting away from it.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm not anti multiplayer games either. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's just like, yeah, to claim that people don't buy single player games is like, what you really mean is that they only buy it once. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the only way to buy the, get them to buy it more than once is to release DLC and sequels.
Or pull a Square Enix or Bethesda and release it on absolutely every console, every generation.
I would still rather have that than, you know, the, then I guess, you know, yeah, recurring user experience or whatever it's called.
Live service bollocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get you. And I mean, the other thing,
you know,
as well.
We're approaching a point where it's like, you know, video games are just one part of it. It's a whole, you know, the whole entertainment industry is gear, you know, going towards it, where all entertainment is essentially for lease.
Yeah. You know,
rather than things being owned and, you know, in your library, in your cabinet, in your, you know, being a piece of your property that you have,
yeah,
you know, everything is on lease rental. Everything. You're renting entertainment. You're basically, you get to have this video game until they say you can't. And as long as you continue to pay for it on an ongoing basis, you can have access to it all you want. Once you stop, or once they stop, it's gone.
Exactly. And it's like you know, people are always like joking on the fact, oh, they shut down all the Blockbuster stores and stuff like that. And yes, I know there's that one Blockbuster store in America that still exists, the last Blockbuster, but let's be honest, the entire world is a giant fucking Blockbuster now. It's never disappeared, it's just changed in scale.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing.
People think that the movie rental services is dead. No, it ain't. It's just changed shape.
Yeah, the brick and mortar's gone, and it's now just, you know, it's through the digital airwaves instead.
Bricks are expensive, what can I say?
Yeah, believe me. I knocked down a few in House Flipper.
But what was I going to say? It's like, you know, hey, at the end of the day, the Fire Emblem games, they're going to keep working forever, for decades into the future.
Yeah.
Symphony of 4 that I just bought, as far as I can tell, should work just fine. You know, forever. You were just talking about BioShock.
Yeah,
that'll work. That'll, you know, you can keep playing that forever.
Yeah, Dragon Age, I like those games. Mass Effect. Yeah, it's all there. And just to also take into the account as well, it's like sometimes, and then this might be so video game companies. If you ever see this, this just might be a thing. Maybe I actually like to play a video game. Because I just want to experience it myself. And I don't need 420 Dankmaster 69 XXX getting in the way of my experience. I'd like to just, you know, have an experience. So EA...
And I don't have to appeal to the Japanese market, which is very largely single-player oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to, you know, gear myself entirely towards Nintendo and all that. How about a more contemporary, you know, sort of high profile generalistic example? How about the Dark Souls games?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an immensely good selling and popular video game franchise, even if you want to include all the other Souls likes that are all made by the same person.
Yeah. And to take into account,
those games are very popular.
And I know people who can go on that and say that there's, you know, oh yeah, but it does have multiplayer in it. Yeah, but it's not a core component of the game. It adds on to the experience. You could play that game offline. You could just
highly recommended that you do. It is highly recommended that you do not enable multiplayer in those games, because you run a very high risk of having your game hacked and your fucking Xbox bricked if you play multiplayer in the Souls games.
Because of the aforementioned 420 Dankmaster 69 XXX. So, yes. You know, I don't know why that's my stereotype for multiplayer troll.
Let's be honest, that's probably his name. There's probably someone out there with that name, and he uses it unironically.
Yeah, if you are 420 Dankmaster 69 XXX, please get in touch with us, and maybe we could let you have your say. However, don't count on it. So speaking of like Pixel Bar, which is the name of the gaming bar that we've got in Manchester, and they do also have one in Leeds, that is the whole concept of it. I don't know if I've like told you about this as well. You might have one yourself, but you can book. So it's just a bar. You can get cocktails, you can get drinks, you can get your standard fucking Carling beer if you really want. But it's also a place where you can book a booth with a games console in it. For a couple of hours, and you and your mates can just have drinks and play a console in a bar, which is great because they've got probably Manchester's like two PS5s in there. So one of them was probably sold to them by Darius, but you know, but yeah. So while that was also going on, they play, because they are, you know, they are a gaming focused bar. They do have esports competitions airing in the bar while they go, or, you know, events are going on. One of those events that they've done was, or that they sort of hosted or rehosted was Awesome Games Done Quick, or as it was over summer, Summer Games Done Quick. Mm-hmm. And it recently ended.
Yeah, it did just come out.
Yeah, with a very, very nice donation amount that they had there. It's not almost 25 million. That's a lie. It's because there's no dots on the link. They raised £2.5 million, according to Eurogamer, in the first in-person one since 2020. So,
yeah, very, yeah, very I nice. Imagine they probably didn't. I imagine viewership and donations were probably a little bit weak during the COVID times.
Yeah.
But now that they're returning to live events, things have picked up a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not like a religious, like, oh boy, game's done quicks on, I'm gonna, my week is sorted out. Like, you know, I pop in and I like, hey, that's a game I care about. I want to see someone totally demolish it in, you know, 15 minutes, you know. I watch their videos occasionally and they put on quite a show, honestly. Yeah. They seem to run a pretty great show.
Because this is what I love about sort of like the games done quick stuff is it's not just your normal speedruns. They, you know, speedrunning a game is an art unto itself.
Oh, yeah.
Doing challenges to make the speedrun, which is already difficult to do, even more difficult, I actually enjoy and I think it was fun. I remember one of my first games done quick streams that I ended up watching. It was a guy playing Fallout 2, but he was doing it one-handed. So it was a speedrun one-handed, and to make sure that he only did it one-handed, they cut the neck off a plastic bottle off and taped it to his right hand. So it's just like, yeah, okay, you know, so that's the thing. So not only did, you know, he did that in X time. I'm just going to cover my mouth. I'm just going to say 45 minutes, and it probably wasn't that, but that's just what I thought about in my head. But yeah, just the fact that they were able to still do that is just mental. And I enjoy people who speedrun like that, especially, you know.
Yeah, what's great about the marathon format is that it's a great time to showcase a wide variety of not just games, but also just, you know, different categories of just sort of like, it's like, yeah, you've seen this game any percent 100 times, and all the most like religious hardcore runners of that game will generally prefer any percent amongst themselves. But as far as like creating an event that is designed to, you know, make as much money as possible, because you know, to make as much charity as possible, you want to create a broad, you know, sort of buffet of different types of runs, so that you can, you know, hit as many people as like, oh, you know, maybe you're not super interested in knowing what the any percent world record for, I don't know, Dark Souls 2 is, but you might care to see somebody play Dark Souls 2 blindfolded with a banana,
with the screen reversed, or, you know,
or you might want to watch these four people who are all very good at this game do a race, you know, in the game to see who can do it fastest.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what's great about it. And, you know, I don't, you know, obviously we don't have nowhere near the free time to just, like you say, to just sit there and just watch the entire thing. But what, you know, they can post them out. They do post that stuff. It's like one of the videos that the Eurogamer article shows is completely Silent Hill the Room in just over an hour, which is just mental. So, you know, it's just great. I'd love to see if there was actually any other challenge on that. But still, good on him. And we'll look forward to him doing it. Because they do that basically two times a year, don't they? The winter one is just called Awesome Games Done Quick. And then the summer one is Summer Games Done Quick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, nice. It's usually twice a year event. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. It's great fun. And I will probably check out a few of their VODs over the coming months.
I saw another Portal 2 one being mentioned there, so yeah, I want to see how that goes. So, one more piece of news before we very briefly talk about something else that may or may not happen, depends on how Riot does the event. you brought it up to me, Star Guardian. Yeah, but okay, so there was a game on the PlayStation 2 quite a while ago called 13. You know, spelt in Roman numerals, 13. And it was like a first-person shooter slash stealth game that was the graphical design of it. I mean, it was apparently a good game as well, but because I think it had Kiefer Sutherland in it. I don't know. I might be just getting it completely wrong and mixed up. But yeah, it was like an amnesiac agent or assassin or something having to solve a giant conspiracy, remembering only the tattoo on him, which said 13, and otherwise no name. But it was done in a comic book style, or basically done to look like the graphic novel in question. And a couple of years back, there was a HD remake of the game that, among other baffling cock-ups, got rid of the comic book style and tried to make it look a little bit more realistic. And basically, it was voted down as being an awful remake of a game. Absolutely shit. I don't know if anyone's heard of a YouTuber called Mac McMuscles. Everyone's heard of them more than they've heard of us. But there's a video series called What Happened that sort of discussed why the 13 remake was panned. But according to Polygon, it's getting a patch to the original game that will redo the game by a different developer instead.
Is this meant to fix the art style?
Yeah, it's meant to fix all the problems. So hold on, what have we got? So Microids is the publisher. They've basically kicked out the original developer. I don't know who they're showing us on here. And they're bringing in the new developer called Tower 5. And some of the stuff, according to the article, says a refined art style. Well, it better be back into the cel-shaded comic book style that it originally was, because that's what made the game. Enhanced AI, otherwise known as AI, reworked HUD, revamped sound design. So another one that they just took the sound or the dialogue from the game and just patched it in wholesale. But remember, this was a PS2, so a lot of the sounds would have been a bit compressed So they just retained that, so revamped sound design, hopefully better. 30 frames per second on Switch, otherwise known as the bare minimum. 60 frames per second on PS5 and Xbox Series, otherwise known as the bare minimum. And online multiplayer. Well. For 2 to 13 players, round of applause, everyone. Round of applause. They did a themed player limit on a fucking multiplayer game named as 13. Have you noticing that I'm not a fan of this remake? But, you know. Oh, guys, it's got a 33% average rating on Metacritic. Not that anyone really reads that anymore. I don't take that into account anymore. But overwhelmingly negative on Steam. That one is a bit more, you know, we were talking about overwhelmingly positive for Symphony of War. On the complete other end of the scale, 13. I mean, to be fair, it works. But the whole idea on this is that they're going to redo the game from this developer's going to redo the game from the ground up, and then once it's done, it will be patched into the original remake as free DLC.
Well, I mean, I wish them the best. I mean, you know what? I mean, hand it over to some other developer, outsource the work. You know, maybe it'll pan out. It'll be like, all right, we fixed it, guys. We did it. I feel like that's what like Valve needs to do for like its abandoned projects. You know, just like, you know, I was like, I get it. Okay, Steam is way more profitable than making video games. Like, but like, I'm sure there's like
clearly a good developer out there for Portal 3.
I'm sure there's a dozen, you know, small to mid, you know, mid-size, you know, for hire development studios that would like that would kill their firstborn for the opportunity to continue the Half-Life or Portal series.
Absolutely.
On your behalf with your vision. Like, you know, whatever. Just like lease him the IP and let him have at it. You know?
Yeah.
The worst case scenario, everyone hates it and you still have Steam. Congratulations. Yeah. You stand to lose virtually nothing.
Well, if you lost, you know, about 500 developers have put in their, you know, asset flipped games at $1,000 a time to get on the store. You're absolutely fine. You're making that money back in no time.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? I don't even know if this is considered a positive or cynical point, but even if Portal 3 is the worst, is like the worst game of all time, it's going to be mm-hmm. Portal 3, which yeah. means it'll sell. You know, you'll yeah. make your monies back one way or another. Whether people will like you for it or not is a different question, but, you know.
You
stand to lose very little. It's a very low risk investment.
Yeah. You know, be careful. You know, you never know. Epic might just buy out the franchise.
Oh my god! Can you imagine if fucking Epic Games developed Portal 3? It's just like, what a get fucking cuckolded, dude.
Yeah. Oh god, it'll bring up the classic LEC. The LEC meme that I remember, which is just a Summoner's Rift game with someone just getting paint and scrolling, what is going on?
That'd be like if fucking Justice League 2 was written, produced by Disney and Marvel Studios, you know?
Oh god, yeah. And Kevin Feige just getting in on all that.
It's like, god, get it. All right, I'll fix it. Come on. Snyder, look, you're a really nice dude.
I'm just gonna give this to Taika.
I will pay you. I will literally pay you producer credit, all the stuff. Hang out with your family.
You stay over there. I'm just gonna give this to Taika Waititi, please. He did Ragnarok, you know. People still watch What We Do in the Shadows. I actually need to go back and do that and, you know, watch it, but you know, that's just how that goes.
Why TT? Because TT is good.
You know, it really wouldn't surprise me if that came out of his own mouth.
Could be.
So, before we go, and before we wrap this up, because we are overrunning, which is a nice thing. There isn't the summer. Main event of League of Legends is coming out this year, like they do every year. Last year it was the Ruination and the Sentinels of Light event, and that needs to be a taste that gets washed out of people's mouths. Unrelated, Immaterial Gamers, for everyone, a novel comes out from Riot called Ruination. Written by Anthony Reynolds, who wrote quite a few Warhammer 40k material, including some Horus Heresy stuff, which people enjoy. It comes out on the 6th of September, and my birthday is the 22nd of September. Make of that what you will, human beings of the internet. But
happy birthday!
Star Guardian is the event, not been out for years, and last time they did the Star Guardian event, they actually had a game mode.
What is game mode? Oh yeah, right. Yeah, I remember.
The PvE game mode that came out.
The PvE game mode, right? I think I seem to recall us eating shit at it when we played.
I think so initially, yeah, because we started to take on to the fact that, all right, what champion do you want to play? Oh, what do you mean we can only use the Star Guardians? What do you mean Soraka and Lux and...
It's like, well, I mean, you know, that is kind of...
It's kind of, yeah. In hindsight, that was the point. And then they also did the Odyssey event, didn't they, as well, but... It wasn't that bad, says Steph.
Was that bad, though. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I guess they're doing more?
Came out that there was a lot of work put into it to just be an anime trailer. Or like an event trailer. For the game. It felt very like slice of life anime was coming on.
Definitely. When I saw it, I was like, "Oh boy, is this going to be our off season project for Arcane?"
Yeah, like, off season Arcane review. I mean, let's be honest. Well, you see, you say this because we don't know what's going on. Is it? They're so hyping up this skin collection because at the end of the day, we know what that is. Everything that goes on is just an excuse to buy skins in League. That's just how it is. But they were at an anime expo, and one of the big anime expos over the past weekend. They got a whole bunch of cosplayers to dress up as all the Star Guardian skins, including the new ones, including Star Guardian Senna. Yes, please. So just letting everyone know, it's my birthday. But yeah, we don't know what's going on. We don't know if there's a new game mode. I mean, based on this, what would be your bar? Let's just assume that disappointment is they just bring out skins and nothing happens.
Yeah,
what would you be looking for as the big, knowing that it's the big summer event, and last time we did this, or the last couple of years, we had Sentinels of Light, which was a giant visual novel punctuated by having to play tons of League games. And before it there was Spirit Bonds, Spirit Blossom, which was a visual novel that worked a lot better with playing League games. What would you feel your excitement, what would sort of make you excited? I mean, you already hinted on the idea that if it turned out that there was a freaking anime, yes, we would have to watch it.
Yeah, that would definitely be, it would be on the list, you know, gotta continue the saga. At first I was like, oh well, this is clearly that. But it was like, now that, you know, the more I think about it, it's like, yeah, it's probably more just like an event. It's probably just like skins, you know, maybe a game mode. You know, it does seem like there's too much money behind it to be like, this is literally just gonna be, you know,
yeah, for that
we're just gonna color the main page Star Guardian colored for a couple of weeks and be like, hey, Star Guardian skins, there's a new series. So it's like, there's probably something to it, but I doubt we're gonna see any major story production, just for the simple fact that it's just like, I think I remember hearing rumors that like the budget for Arcane was how much was Arcane, did Arcane cost? I know it was into like the eighth digit. I don't know if it went further than that.
I could probably expect it to be in there, but even then, to also take into account on this that, didn't Tencent and Riot basically buy Fortiche as a result of the overwhelmingly positive reactions of Arcane?
Yeah, for the first season of Arcane, budgets are estimated between $90 and $100 million.
Which for animation, so, to be fair, for animation, that's
actually right around this. That's actually right around the same budget for Into the Spider-Verse, actually. First one.
All right. Okay. It was right around that. And now to be considered, and also, the second series of Arcane, they're increasing like, that.
Yeah. Probably. The thing about animation, you got to remember too, is that a lot of the times animation budgets for major blockbusters like the Disney's and stuff, a lot of that is inflated from like cast and stuff, like. You know, getting the big name celebrities to voice all their quirky characters for like, you know, $10-20 million a pop. It's expensive marketing is essentially what it boils down to. When you get a bunch of relatively unknown people who are just, and all the budget is, and mainly the money's going into the budget, you get things like Into the Spider-Verse, which is a much more modestly priced film. Full of, you know, not quite as well-known actors, and it still looks amazing. It's
oh yeah,
movie looks phenomenal.
Yeah,
so like you can get good animation for relatively affordable prices, a la Arcane and a la League. It just depends on where you put your money.
Let's just say now, I reckon the cost price for Hayley Steinfeld has shot up quite significantly since, to Riot's own admission, she was unknown at the time she recorded her first lines for Vi. Since then, she's been the top billing of a fucking Apple TV series and a Disney Plus series. You know,
well, there you
like,
go.
Yeah, just like, oh yeah, can we get you to record some more lines for Vi? What are you paying?
Yeah, that'd definitely be the next round will be a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, but again, though, from what it sounds like, and especially with the season two teaser that they had, it sounded like they already had quite a lot of lines from there already recorded. So that makes it it's weird. I don't know where to go with Riot on that, because they turned around and said that they did this as a one and done, and then due to reactions after the first act, they suddenly had more lines and a whole plot arc for a second season. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd like to see a second season with, in my opinion, you know, improvements. Duncan's would also be on the same thing. The lists of what's in the improvements differ, but
yeah,
we discussed that. You can go watch them again.
My opinions on Arcane have definitely softened considerably since our reviews first came out. My biggest admission that I'll say is that I was objectively unfair in the weight of, you know, of how little I valued the overall like production values of the project, because regardless of what picks and, you know, nitpicks and issues I may have had with, you know, general
narrative,
visual scoring and narrative, you know, it is a hell of a feat as far as like what they accomplished. Like, in terms of like, this is a video game adaptation this isn't like your fucking Mortal Kombat 1995. This is not your.
Video game movies.
You know, House of the Dead. You know, this ain't Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, like this is like, you know, this was a very serious production that nobody was half-assing. Like,
yeah,
you know, this was Riot's genuine attempt at being like, you know what, Disney, DreamWorks, give me a little of that. I can fight.
Let us step, please. I've
been putting away some of my tip money for over the years from League. We can make this happen.
Yeah.
And they definitely did a great job in pretty much every department. And I can even concede that a lot of the points that I made about the story were either overblown or I've either like missed the point. You know, there's a lot of things that I said that you could very easily argue against. I just didn't have at the time, I think, people with that perspective to sort of challenge me on that. I think that maybe if there was a lot larger panel, I might have been able to get that, get all those perspectives in. I could have been probably talked down from a lot of my positions.
Yeah, so for second season of Arcane, I want more people, basically. More than just me and Duncan, we just get a couple more voices.
It'd be nice. And ultimately, I am looking forward to Arcane Season 2. I may not have been, I may have said I wasn't, but I am now. And I would like to see them continue to make this project, because it was a hell of an effort, and they really did a pretty good job. You know, like I said, this was not a cash grab experience. Like, this was serious.
It was actually a labor of love when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, considering, you know, people who were involved in it, you know, they started off as, oh, hey, we're in a dorm room. We made a mod in Warcraft. Hey guys, look at this, to where they are now, which is, you know, mental. And we take the shit that's happened with Riot in the past, and, you know, we say this with other game companies, we will call them out on shit that happens.
And I feel like it also stands to point out, it's like, okay, I mean, yeah, Riot is Riot. Whatever opinions you have on them, you know, it's valid, and I'm not going to talk you out of it.
Absolutely.
As far as like this goes, like, you know, if you're someone who is like, who cares about the art of storytelling more than the, you know, if that is like a priority in your life, you can probably look past the fact that, you know, the Riot Games name to accept the fact that one, it's a pretty good, high quality project that's being made, and two, it's not like Riot Games is like, you know, like they've got their own studio that are working on this of people who are, you know, all good dudes. They're just animators, they're just writers, they're just people doing their thing. You know, it's not like Riot's like executive staff are all, you know, got their like fingers in the pie. It's, you know, it's, they got their money is in it.
Yeah,
you know, that's it's you know, don't blame the animation studio for it. Don't.
No, for Tish, you know, from what little I've seen of the stuff outside of Arcane, are basically pretty fucking awesome. And there's the thing, there was nothing disputed when we said this with the original art. Again, at least from my opinion, the fucking thing is, the thing is fucking gorgeous. There's, right. You know, that's the thing. That's undeniable. And that's all, oh, yeah. That's all Fort Tish is doing. So, you know, that's where that comes from. But, you know, for me, circling back around to the Star Guardian thing, for me, yeah. I'd even just do with little webisodes, maybe. You know, just like, a bit, you know, in the same way that, you know, when they hype up each of the new sets for TFT, they do a little 2-minute, 3-minute video of Pengu and Chonk, the mascot characters for Teamfight Tactics, just in a silly situation for, you know, I'd take that with Star Guardian. Maybe just, you know, maybe have Star Guardian Senna or whoever they're announcing. I know Star Guardian Talia is a thing, and she's going to be released separately from the rest of the Star Guardian skin line because she's going to be the charity skin for the year. So all proceeds from buying Talia go towards the Riot Games Social Impact Fund, is basically what they call their, you know, charity thing. But I'd take little webisodes, maybe, you know, sort of on the line of this is a thing that Duncan will probably get here, Ruby Chibi. So just like,
oh yeah, Ruby Chibi, yeah,
mini episodes that just, you know, just have the Star Guardians in there just to do a thing. Like, basically what we came down to, like we said, is that there was a lot of effort put into that teaser for it to just be a teaser.
But, yeah, and, you know, and, you know, and what I was saying, yeah, what I was, you know, cause this whole this whole rant sort of came out of a question that I never really answered. But it's just like, yeah, I strongly doubt that they're going to be immediately face diving into another major animation project.
Yeah, after
It's like the fact that they're taking 2 years to do it is like, it's like obviously this is either like, you know, this is not an easy thing for them to do. Like this, you know, like, you know, Riot is, you know, they're not small. Like they're far from a small indie company, but they ain't no Disney.
Yeah,
you know, they don't have fucking billions of dollars stuffed in their couch cushions just ready to throw, you know, 19 different major animation projects out in a single year. Like, you know, even for Riot Games, it is not easy to just be like, all right, we'll just, all right, new animation project.
Yeah, Riot.
Especially
Riot.
Because their big thing, too, is they also don't have, unlike Disney, they don't have a first-party streaming platform. They got to share all those.
It's funny, I was about to say.
With Netflix, yeah.
I was about to say that, you know, cut to winter 2023 when Riot have their own streaming service.
Oh, they'll have to. I mean, you know, if they decide that Arcane was just like a one-off experimental project, then it wasn't really, you know, and fun as it was, it just wasn't really worth it financially, then whatever. I guess that's what it is what it is. You know, we can't really blame them for that. But if they want to seriously compete, eventually that's going to have to be the way they go because, you know, it's an expensive project. And when you don't have some kind of like, when you're splitting whatever, like, I don't even know how much Netflix takes, if it's 25 or 30 or 40%, whatever their take is on the, on like, or however, I don't even, I have no
on streaming, on streaming rights, whatever the streaming rights cut is.
On how they pay their IP holders. But you know, whatever it is, it's probably fairly narrow in terms of like their margins, which is I'm sure at least part of the reason why they're spreading it out over 2 years.
I mean, you know, now that you've actually just reminded me on that, there's still the cautiousness. We've got to be cautious. I mean, I honestly, I wouldn't think Netflix would drop what has been considered one of their most successful launches of a show on there. You know, in terms of the stuff on there, it was top 10 in multiple countries. It was the top viewed show in, you know, in the US. It was top 3 in the UK. It, you know, it stood toe-to-toe with Squid Game, just to put that into perspective. But I'm also on the, I'm also aware of the idea that Netflix has been losing, or has been hemorrhaging money recently due to the fact that they bought a lot of stuff high. They just bought a lot of stuff on the idea of, well, we're the streaming service, and then every other fucking streaming service. We recently just got access to Paramount Plus, for fuck's sake. Yeah, so between Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, Now TV, Netflix, fucking Paramount, you know, it's like everything.
Well, the thing is, I've communicated this a few times now. It's like, as far as like, you know, letting things go or keeping them, it's just like a lot of people. I think a lot of people are under the what I'm going to call the mistaken impression that Netflix has more control over that than they probably do. You know, every licensing agreement is a negotiation, and a negotiation requires, by definition, a minimum of two parties.
Yeah.
And people say, like, oh, why is Netflix dropping XYZ? It's just like, well, probably Netflix is dropping XYZ because those people in the last 4 or 5 years since they signed on with Netflix at first, their owners made their own streaming platforms and decided that Netflix was too expensive, so they just dropped. So they dropped Netflix.
Well, it's funny because we mentioned the Paramount thing. Case in point, Star Trek Discovery. CBS owns the Star Trek license. They are part of Paramount. If they're going to be doing their own streaming service, of course they're not fucking going to have it on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just like, you know, they can keep a significantly higher percentage of the revenue, you know, cut out a huge bite out of the overhead by hosting it on their own platform. And it's like, so what if they lose a few people? It's just like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, if everybody, you know, that's the big fear, right? Like, it, you, like YouTube is kind of like coming up on this problem. It hasn't quite faced it yet, but I think it will eventually. Where it's like, everyone's afraid to leave YouTube because YouTube is the place that you go for videos. And if you leave that place, even to make your own video site or a different video site that cuts, that offers you a better price, you run that risk of losing a lot of your audience. And the trade-off may not be worth it because it's YouTube, you know, that's
absolutely,
you know, who wants to leave YouTube? But, you know, in the case of Netflix, and Netflix was the same. It was like, who wants to leave Netflix? You know, there's 100 billion users or whatever, you know, like hyperbolic. You know, there's hundreds of millions of people have got Netflix. You know, why would you want to leave that viewer base behind? It's like, well, if everybody leaves Netflix all the same time, it's just like, sorry, you're just going to have to drop Netflix and go watch the shows elsewhere, you know? It's like, eventually there's going to be nothing on Netflix and it won't be that big of a deal to drop Netflix. You know, if, you know, the same thing could happen to YouTube, they just haven't yet.
Yeah. God, that's just fundamental. I just think that's just
what I really do think that we're entering a point where, like, Netflix might not be, like, the kingpin of streaming services for much longer. I really think that they're, if they're not on their way out, they're definitely on their way towards a major identity and business model shift.
It'll be that word that's used in the game industry themselves, restructuring, which generally means layoffs.
Oh yeah, layoffs first. That'll be the first thing that happens.
Yeah. So, well, we'll keep you posted on that as shit Netflix goes south, Netflops. Well, I tried to make a joke out of it. It wasn't really funny. Speaking of not funny, if you sorry, go on.
Just Netflix, like out of your
Netflix.
Yeah, like, oh, there's a bit of that in my.
I mean, they could go into the cereal market. Netflix.
Yeah, there you go. I
just little ends in a bowl. Actually, you ever feel that's the point where we should wrap up because I leave a stupid situation
Yeah, let's move on. We've had a good
nearly hour and a half.
Technology, you know, all that business. We took a couple steps outside the video game sphere today, but you know what? I think that's healthy. There's a lot of things to talk about in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, if you want more of that, give us a follow, give us a subscribe. If you see the VOD of this on YouTube, give us a like, a share, and subscribe, and then check out the Twitch, which we're on. We stream almost every day. Join us. Come in. We don't bite. Just have a laugh.
Much.
Steph still, I mean, his shoulder is healing. Should just have to explain on that. And now Steph just joined in there by saying Ryan bites. Well, yeah. If anyone's seen this live, the next scheduled stream is, and I promise, and I said this during the role-playing Nightmare Game stream, I'm going to carry on playing the Supergiant games. I am going to do the second half of Bastion on Monday. So that's just how that's going to be. And then I can move in and play Transistor. And then I bought Pyre for £1.
There you go.
So, or is it £3? Look, I bought it for a significantly cheaper than it was, and I'm going to give it another shot.
That'll be fun. And I'll probably, I missed last week because my work schedule got shifted around and I worked the Tuesday instead of the Monday, but I'll probably be around for Fire Emblem streaming on Tuesday.
That's usually around the 5 o'clock time in Britain.
Around noonish in Canada time.
Yeah. I like to say there that now when I've discussed the times that we go live is because we're based in the UK and Canada, our time zones are going to be UK and Canada. If you don't like it, go and find a converter, deal with it.
Yeah, well, it's like, I'm sorry, if you're based out of Hong Kong, you're just going to have to make it up, just figure it out.
You 8 hours ahead, I think, something like that. And, 8 hours and then some from us, so that's like 13 hours ahead, and... From the Canadian time stream,
from Tuesday. That's what time it is.
Yeah, we stream when we stream. There you go. Have a good night, and we'll be back soon. So bye bye.